Shabbat Shalom, Saints, and welcome to our Sabbath Holy Convocation Service. Each week, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet us here. In fact, Jehovah commanded us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. We know, according to Leviticus 23, the Sabbath is a feast of Jehovah. So I want you to grab something to write with, something to write on, and prepare yourself to receive inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for our Sabbath Holy Convocation Service. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the Accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a Messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. I'm ecstatic to announce our Laborers Grant available to all HRU students. Our new Laborers Grant enables us to eliminate the $50 application fee and cover 50% of tuition costs across all degree programs, removing additional financial barriers and making our tuition even more affordable to all students. There are no prerequisites or pre-qualifications required. Simply apply, and the grant would be automatically applied to your account. All students that apply today will be given a Laborers Grant, which will cover 50% off all tuition costs and will be automatically awarded for each term the student is enrolled. You can apply now. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Have Questions section at the bottom of our website. The implementation of our new Laborers Grant will provide access to as many people as possible from all nations worldwide who are desirous of higher education in ministry and becoming laborers in the end-time harvest of the kingdom. Here at Hebrew Roots University, we are dedicated to our mission to teach the true gospel of the kingdom, the gospel Yeshua taught, to people of all nations and to eradicate biblical illiteracy worldwide. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey, so check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Don't wait. Take advantage of our new Laborers Grant, so apply now. HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a 2-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a Messianic Hebrew Roots approach to the Scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Greetings, saints, and Shabbat Shalom. Hey, may you all be blessed for joining us on this Jehovah's Feast Day. Today's message is entitled, Becoming Like Messiah. We'll be continuing our verse-by-verse study in Colossians chapter 3, covering verses 1 through 25 today. In this chapter, Paul provides instructions on how to become like Messiah. Every believer must deal with the old man in order to become the new creation we have been called to be. So stay tuned with us as we continue this verse-by-verse study. At the end of today's teaching, you'll be given an opportunity to give of your tithes and of your offerings as Father has blessed you. You'll also be able to request prayer, give testimonies, and ask questions on today's message. If you just go to arthurbaileyministries.com and on the live stream page, you'll see at the bottom right-hand side a chat icon. Join the chat, and there you can submit your questions, your testimonies, and your prayer request. And while you're there on our website, we ask that you subscribe, where you can get notifications of upcoming teaching titles and events. And we're also on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and X. So like, subscribe, but please share. At this time, I'd like to invite Minister Kenneth Parks to come up and lead us in opening prayer.
Shabbat shalom. Let us pray. Pray, Father, that you join us today by your Ruah. Pray that your spirit is welcome here in this assembly, that you are welcome in every assembly where your children are gathered together on the Sabbath day. Join us. We pray, Father, your word. Your word says that a certain lawyer asked him, what is the great commandment of the Torah? And Yeshua said, thou shalt love Jehovah, thy Elohim, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the Torah and the prophets. Our prayer today is that we keep this commandment to love one another with a fervent love. And I pray that we walk in the calling, for in this calling to love, you say, you have given apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers. We pray that everyone be added to the harvest to walk in their purpose when they are called, that they walk in it and do it, and that the apostle in his calling as apostle, you bless that word that he gives today. Anoint that word. We pray that his word be confirmed by signs and wonders. I pray that everywhere he walks that people are just filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray that with that word that we leave here better Hebrews than when we came, that with that word shared today, that we take one step closer to our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray that we provoke each other to good works, that we help each other get our name written in the book. And all these things I pray in the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kenneth. Well, brethren, to bring us the message, Becoming Like Messiah, Apostle Arthur Bailey.
Shabbat Shalom, saints. Welcome to all of you, those of you who are here, those of you who are joining us online. It's good to have you with us today. Today is what I would consider, well, for me, a very special message. It's a special message because this is one of those teachings that I believe is going to challenge us to the very core of our being. And I'm going to drive some points home today that I hope don't nobody get upset with me. Don't get upset with me, because I only mean well. As I was sharing with the saints on Thursday during searching the scriptures, this is one of those messages where I actually struggled with the actual title. And the reason I struggled with the actual title is because of the challenge that I believe this particular portion of Paul's letter in Colossians actually challenges us with. During Pentecost, I spoke on a message to where I made a statement. And in the statement that I made during Pentecost 2025, I said that we are Mashiachs, that we are Messiahs. Now, I know for some people, they hear that, what they would hear is that we are we are Christ. Now, the problem with Christ is many people associate Christ simply with Jesus. And the idea of Christ is actually, for some people, the last name of Jesus. It's like his name is Jesus Christ. And so to say that we are Christ would be really one of those statements that I know that would cause some people to call me a heretic right off the bat. But when we begin to talk about Messiah and Mashiach, we're going to show you here in this particular letter, in addition to some things that I'm going to show you in this particular teaching, my hope is that we would become messiahs. Now, the teaching is becoming like Messiah, and that is in reference to the Messiah. However, when it comes down to being Messiah, we really are going to have to embrace some things. And I think that this particular portion of Paul's letter is going to help some of us do that if we haven't done it already. So we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 25. And at the end of the teaching, we're going to give you an opportunity to give, to ask questions for those of you who have questions, those of you who need prayer, to receive prayer. Our mission statement, restoring the Hebrew roots to the Christian and Jewish faiths. Now, I say this to the Christian and Jewish faiths, not to say that, you know, we are Christians, but I think Christians got off course. And the reason I think that is because of their response and relationship to the Creator. You cannot be in the kingdom of God and not keep the law of God. And anyone who confesses to not be under the law has to also accept the fact that they're not under God. Now, restoring the Hebrews, I'm trying to get the Christians back on track, but also Jews who reject the Messiah, trying to get them on track. How many of you know that according to the book of Acts and according to the Gospels, that the gospel was presented to the Hebrews first? They were the first ones to receive the gospel. And Christianity and theology has really confused a lot of us in the sense that you're either a Jew or a Gentile, and that only the Gentiles are actually saved and the Jews will be saved later. And I have to remind people that all of Messiah's disciples were Hebrews. In fact, all the way up until Acts chapter 10, everyone who received the gospel, everyone who received salvation were Hebrews. They were, in some minds, called Jews. But the first non-Hebrew or non-Jew to receive the good news and convert was Cornelius. Prior to him, every person who received the Holy Spirit, every person who received the gospel, every person who was saved was what modern day Christians would call Jews. Paul wrote to us in Romans and saying, listen, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to who first? Romans 1:17, somewhere in there, to the Jews first. So the first to receive the gospel was the Hebrew. How many of you know Yeshua didn't show up in New York? Did he? No, he came to Israel, and specifically, he came to Jerusalem, which is in the land of Judah. So we're going to get into some things today, and hopefully those who have crossed over away from Messiah and those who have yet to receive Messiah will actually embrace Messiah. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father in heaven, we are so grateful to be alive and in your presence in the company of one another. We welcome your presence in the midst of us today. We ask that you fill us afresh with your spirit, that you empower us, your people, that we might walk in the fullness of your power. We pray, Father, for your anointing, yoke-destroying anointing, every form of acts of disobedience-destroying anointing. Father, that every issue in our lives that is hindering us from walking in the fullness of your power, in the fullness of your anointing, will be confronted today. We pray, Father, that you will make yourself known in the midst of us as you reveal yourself and as you empower us and fill us afresh with your spirit. Not only those of us in this place, Father, but those who are joined with us via the internet and those who will join or watch this teaching at a later date. We know that Messiah has come not only to give us life, but to give us life to the full, the abundant life. Help us to walk and to live that abundant life that has been made available to us and to confront anything that hinder us from entering into it. Be glorified in us today. Forgive us of every sin. Forgive us of every thought, act, word, action of disobedience. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Create in us clean hearts. Renew the right spirit in us. And bless us with your divine presence in Yeshua's name. Amen. You know, I was thinking today, and I've been having some conversations in this morning, even as I was greeting my dear sister Belinda at the loss of her brother and having to deal with loss myself. On Thursday, I actually posed a question to you all about how long do you plan to live? The average person don't even give thought to that. I plan to live a while. In fact, I know how long I plan to live. And as a result of that, I'm making that declaration. Why? Because if you don't have a plan to live a long and prosperous life, you might not live a long and prosperous life. You know, there's an old saying is that, you know, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so I'm planning to live a long and prosperous life. What about you? Then you need to make that declaration. Because if you don't, then, you know, death can show up unexpectedly. But if you are expecting good from hope and expecting to live the duration of your promise, then by all means, that should be what you expect. Amen? So as we go into this message, becoming like Messiah, we know that Messiah came with a specific purpose, and when his purpose was completed, he was out of here. But even though he was out of here, you know the grave couldn't hold him, right? He resurrected. He got up out of that grave. Every last one of us is risen with him, according to Paul's letter that we're going to look at. And it's time that we start living like we have been risen. In this third chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians, he transitions from doctrine to the believer's daily life. After he revealed the mystery of Messiah in you, the hope of glory, and we looked at that in chapter 1, which we're going to reference it in this particular chapter as well, that he spoke about in chapter 1 and how the Messiah in body form was the full representative of the Godhead in chapter 2. He gives practical instructions on how to become like the Messiah. Every believer who confesses faith in the Messiah must deal with the old nature or old man to become the new creation or new man we are all called to become. To become the new man, we must be willing and actively engaged in letting go of the old man and putting him off so that we can put on the new man in all his glory in order to walk in the fullness of the power of Jehovah like Yeshua did. Now, in the statement that I just read, one thing that I have had to do and continue to do is confront myself. Because I realize the only thing that's holding me back from walking in the fullness of what I've been called to walk in is me. Can't nobody hold me back. The devil has no authority. I've been empowered to walk in the fullness of life. And if I'm not, then I have to ask myself why. What's the problem? What's wrong with me? And then I need to get out the way. And this is what Paul is dealing with in this particular chapter, because he's going to talk about some things that we have to put off, but then there's some things that we have to put on. Now, if you remember, he said in, I believe, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says that we are new creations. That we are new creation. Say that with me. I am a new creation. Amen. So now the question is that if I'm a new creation, am I walking like the old creation? Because something is going on that is hindering us from walking in the newness of life and then to walk in that newness of life every single day. In verse 27, again, in Colossians 1, wrote, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Messiah in you, the hope of glory. Now, a couple of weeks ago when we dealt with this particular chapter, I think it was a couple, maybe it was longer than that, I said that this Messiah in you, when we think of Christ, I said we need to think of the Word. When we think of Christ, we need to think of the Word. Why? Because he is the Word that became flesh. So Messiah was the Word that took on human form. Now, he was the Word that was with the Almighty from the beginning. However, we've been with him from the beginning. Now, contrary to something that was said today, I'm not thriving to get my name in the book of life. I'm working to keep it in there. Because I believe it's already there. You know, I'm just working on not getting blotted out. Are you hearing me? I believe that I was with him in the beginning if he knew me before I was conceived. Now, the thing is that just as Messiah was with him in word form and in body form, he became the full representation of the Almighty. We too have the ability to become the full representation of God. Now, this is gonna stretch some of your minds a little bit, but our minds need to be stretched because Christianity has done a number on a lot of us. Religion has done a number on a lot of us, and that stuff has to be undone if we expect to walk in anything closely even resembling him. His word tells us that whatever he did, we can do. Whatever he did, we can do. And that says to me one of two things. Either I don't think I can do it, or he didn't mean that. Now, if I don't think I can do it, then I just have to change my thinking. So Messiah is now in you, which means if he is in you, he who is the Word is in you. And those of us who have come through the whole Trinity theology, where Jesus is God in apostolic theology, then if Jesus is God and he is Messiah, and he is the Word, then if he's in me, then the fullness of God is in me. Hello? The Word in me, Messiah in me, God in me. That empowers me to do the works that he did if I think I can. Now, if I don't think I can, then whatsoever man thinketh, so is he. So there has to be some radical change in our thinking. And I'm trying to the best of my ability to make those radical changes in me, regardless of what you do in you. Is every man who has to make change? See, I can't change you. I can tell you some stuff. Father has told us things, but from the beginning, those of you who were with us on Thursday, you know that when it came down to the Almighty and his working with Israel, that he did the impossible with Israel for Israel in the plain sight of Israel, and still they had issues with fear. They had issues with idols. They allowed things to keep them from walking and actually embracing and benefiting from all the Almighty had done on their behalf, to the point to where he got angry with that generation. Verse 1, if. And there's the issue right there. If. See, this is going to separate the believers from the unbelievers. And as I've stated, there are unbelieving believers. If. Now, I really want you to see this statement. If you then be risen with Messiah, seek those things which are above, where Messiah sitteth on the right hand of God. And what this says to me, according to what I read from Paul, is that if Messiah is seated on the right hand of the Almighty, where am I seated? If he's in me and he's there, then I am where he is. And Paul is going to say, when he shows up, then will I show up? Which means that there's a me that's with him, but then there's a me that's with me. There's a me that is with him, but there's a me that is with me. However, with me is another me. Oh, if assumes the reality that we have been risen with Messiah. If we have risen with him, we are also seated with him. Now, Paul wrote this in Ephesians. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Messiah, by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua. So where are we? If I'm in Messiah, then where Messiah is where I am. Now, I'm gonna talk to the people who's Paul's disciples. Because if you really, really believe what Paul is writing, then you shouldn't have a problem reading and accepting what Paul wrote. So there's a dilemma that I have to deal with within myself. Because, see, when I look in the mirror, I see me. But also recognize, as I've shared with you all, this idea that there is two us's. There's two you's. And one you is getting in the way of the other you, and you ain't figured out who you is. Hello? Oh, we're going to help you with that today. We're going to help you. Christ, Messiah, meaning anointed. Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God, the anointed. The origin from Creole to anoint. Consecrating Yeshua to the messianic office and furnishing him with the necessary powers for its administration, enduring believers. See, this same anointing, because I'm going to tell you, this same anointing that was on him is the same anointing that's on us. The same one who anointed him is the same one who anointed us. See, when you start pulling all this stuff together and looking at what Paul said and understanding what James and John is writing about, we have an anointing. We have an anointing. In fact, they go as far as to say, you don't need no man to teach you because you have an anointing and he will teach you all things. The same Jehovah who anointed Yeshua with the Holy Spirit and with power is the same Jehovah who anoints us with the Holy Spirit, and we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. So if you got the Holy Spirit, you got the anointing, and if you got the anointing, you got the power. So why aren't we walking in the fullness of it? Something's holding us back, and I can tell you who's holding it back, you. I'm the only one holding me back. And the reason I feel and think that I'm holding me back is because I've been taught to hold me back. There's some things that have been deposited in me from a little one. Worthless. Non-righteous. Humble yourself. All these things have caused us to suppress. And then when the Almighty comes and fill us, we operate in that suppressive mindset. This Messiah, Mashiach, anointed one. Now, in the teaching I did on Pentecost, you know, there are those, and some of you all, you've heard this stuff in church. When a preacher mess up, they fall, they get caught with the hand in it ain't the cookie jar they get. Touch not God's anointed. That's what they say, touch not God's anointed. How can he be anointed and I'm not anointed? How can he be anointed and you not be anointed? There's been a separation of power between the us's and the them's. And if you're not God's anointed, meaning you're not the person in charge, listen, God's anointed ain't out there doing unanointed stuff. This Mashiach, anointed one, comes from Mashach, which is to smear, to anoint. It also to anoint as consecration, but also to be anointed. To be anointed. So, who anoints us? Jehovah. What are we anointed with? The Spirit of Jehovah. We are anointed like Yeshua was anointed. We have the same Holy Spirit Yeshua had. We have the same Holy Spirit the apostles had. We are anointed ones. Are y'all with us? Are you with me today? We are anointed ones. Say that with me. I am an anointed one. Those of you at home, say it too, because you are anointed. And unless you embrace it, you won't walk in it. So the first thing is that you have to see yourself as he see you. And that's the challenging part. But how many of you know that in Messiah, we now have the mind of Messiah? We can now think the thoughts of Jehovah. We can see things from his perspective, and that's where we have to get to in order to see ourselves the way he see us. See, he don't see you like you see you. Your ways and his ways are not the same. He has an expectation of you that you don't have of yourself. Verse 2. Now that I'm seated with him, what should I do? Set my affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Now, what this actually says to you and I is this. The problems here on earth aren't the same problems in heaven. How many of you know there's not a shortage in heaven? How many of you know there's not lack in heaven? There's no doubt. There's no worry. There's no fear. All that stuff is here where we are, at least where one of us is, because there's two of us in this body. And I recognize that. And I got to deal with that other guy because that other guy in me is keeping me from being who I'm supposed to be. The two yous. The two yous. Every believer has dual personalities. There are the old man and his personality, and there are the new man and his personality. Now, I said there is the old man. And I got corrected. It's like you're supposed to say R, but that don't sound right to me. Is that right, Miss Sharon? There are the old men. There are the old men, but there is the old man. So I said, there is the old man, and it says, that's not right. And corrected me. I have to correct it. So there is the old man and his personality, and there is the new man and his personality. Now, I call this the two yous. One body with two people dwelling in it. The old man and the new man. The two yous, or the two personalities within you, compete with one another 24/7. The old you is more accustomed to habitual behavior patterns, problem-solving mindset, and a developed worldview with all of its idiosyncrasies, including attitudes, hurts, anger issues, developed prejudices, racial proclivities, and all the other stuff that dwells in you at this point. There are always two yous operating in you. You must always be aware of what you in you is operating in the moment. This is where I talk about you have to know where you are at all times. You have to know where your head is. You have to know what thought process you're thinking through. Because when you are thinking like the old man, you're going to feel feelings that the old man feel. When you think like the new man, which many of us haven't developed, we could talk about a new mind and renewing the mind all we want, and all it is lip service. And I had to tell myself, you know, Arthur, you can lie to other people, but you got to stop lying to you. You got to stop lying to you. And so to thine self, you got to be true. And as I'm looking at this and I'm reading and I'm asking, because I'm reading about me in the book, but the me that I'm seeing is not the me I'm reading about. So I'm seeing my mama's boy, my daddy's boy. I'm seeing my brother's brother, my children's daddy, my wife's husband. This is the means that I'm seeing. And when I see myself through those lenses, all of the stuff that comes with how they see me is projected onto me, which caused me to behave like they see me. Listen to this. The old you will camouflage as the new you if you are not aware of what you is manifesting. The old you will get you in trouble, and now the new you have to figure out how to undo what you have done. Man, I'm getting tongue-tied writing this stuff. And here's some real issues. It is not the new you getting you in trouble with your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It is not the new you getting into arguments and behaving badly. It is not the new you committing adultery or fornication. The new you is not LGBTQ+. It is not the new you that don't get along with people. Until you effectively deal with the old you, the new you will continue to suffer the consequences. I was having a conversation with my wife. We have a lot of conversations. And I tell you, she made a statement that I wasn't being bothered by the things that she was saying. And I said, well, are you trying to bother me? And she couldn't answer. So I said, well, okay, I get it now. And what I've been working on is not being bothered. In other words, you can say what you want to say. You got the right, the lips, the tongues, the vernacular, the vocabulary to let whatever you want come out of your mouth. How I respond to it is me. Now, if what you're saying is upsetting me, then I ain't in control of me, you are. What you're saying is causing me to respond. Why am I responding based on what you say instead of responding on how I should respond to whatever you say, and that is what you're saying ain't bothering me. You hear what I'm saying? See, when Yeshua was on that cross and they were trying to get him to come down, I said, man, he listened to y'all. I know why I'm here. You saved others. Save yourself. Just keep watching. See, I know, I can imagine him saying, I know how this story goes. You don't have a clue. Just keep watching. Now, once you know how the story goes, that means that you have now embraced the author who's writing the story. He know how you're supposed to end up. How you end up might not necessarily be how you're supposed to end up until you start seeing yourself through the eyes of the author. That's why we have to keep our eyes on the author and the finisher. Because he know how this story is supposed to go. You're trying to figure out stuff that's already been figured out. He said, Paul writes, for you are dead. Are you? Because dead men don't get bothered by stuff people say. Dead folks don't get upset. Are you here? We just go, well, let me keep going. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Messiah in God. Now, you know, part of our problem is we want to be recognized. We want kudos. We want compliments. We want appreciation. If I do something for you, I expect at least a thank you. So I got all these expectations that dead men don't have. Which tells me you is very much alive. You ain't dead. You give it lip service now. I remember, you know, when my brother said, why don't you make people call you Dr. Bailey? Because that ain't my name. It doesn't matter how much degrees or how much knowledge or how high you climb. That is not who you are. It really isn't. If you got to have a title to feel good about yourself, you already got a problem. If you get mad when somebody don't call you what you think they should call you, you know, so you can call me boy all you want to now. I know who I is or who I are. Notice what he said. When Messiah, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Which means I ain't here yet unless I'm walking in him. This word appear means to make manifest, to become visible or known, what has been hidden or unknown, to manifest. The usage is to make manifest, to appear, to manifest. Now, I can manifest, and if I'm manifesting, I should observe what I'm manifesting to show me who's manifesting. See, if I watch my actions, I know who's operating, because I've learned to distinguish the old man from the new man, and I know how the new man is supposed to act. And if I'm acting contrary to the new man, then I'm operating in the old man. And if I'm operating in the new man, that should be telling me something. As one who is dead, when Paul is going to say, you got to put to death. Now, wait a minute. Ain't I a new creation? I'm a new creature? Yeah. In the eyes of the Almighty. But are you a new creation in your eyes? See, all you got to do is look at your actions. Look at your behavior. Listen to your conversation. Look at who you hang around with. Look at who you like being in the company of. Paul is stating that Jehovah in Yeshua has done his part, and now he expects us to do our part. See, people talking about Yeshua fulfilled all that. Yeah, but you still got work to do. See, he says mortify. Now, I haven't searched this out, but I think this is where they get the word mortician. It sounds like it could fit. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The first thing here is he says mortify, that is to make dead, to put to death, to slay, to deprive of power. That's the old man that wants his recognition, that wants his respect. The usage to be dead. This comes from the word necros, meaning one that has breathed his last, his lifeless, is deceased, departed. Dearly departed. That's what it means to put you to death. That means that now you are in a casket and being lowered into a ground 6 feet. That means that you don't exist no more. That means you are lifeless. A corpse. Origin, notice it at the bottom there. Get it? You see that in parentheses? A corpse. A corpse. You got to attend your own funeral. I just want you to think about that a moment. Verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience? And the question that I pose is, who are the children of disobedience? A little graphic I created using AI. It ain't the devil. It's a tool. Old man. And what I wanted to make a distinction between the children of disobedience and the children of obedience before we get into some of these words definition. So Colossians 1:3-6 says, "For the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Now, in parallel, Paul says in Ephesians 2, "In times past, you used to walk according to the course of this world." Now, the thing is that we're still in this world, and some of us at some times is still walking and acting like that old man. And the way we know we're walking and acting like that old man is because we're getting upset over some stuff where dead men don't get upset. And so the moment I get upset, I know who's operating in me. Because now I have to deal with being upset, recognizing who is operating in me so that I don't let the old me respond to being upset. And so my response is going to tell me who is responding, whether it's the old me or is it the new me. Because the new me is dead and ain't bothered by what is going on, but the old me is bothered and troubled. And that's the one who's going to respond to something, and then it's probably going to respond in a way that is not the new man at all. That's why I have to pay attention to myself. I used to watch people. I was in the airport. No, actually, I was in the airport. And this gentleman, you know, I don't know if those of you who travel, but sometimes when you travel and you're in the airport, you take up two seats. You know how you take and you put your bags in one seat, and you in the other seat, and you see everybody around you doing it. And I had my bag in one seat, and this guy came up to me and says, "Is anybody sitting there?" Now, he don't know. It could have been somebody that I'm watching their stuff for and went to the bathroom, so it's a legitimate question. But when I heard it, I knew wasn't nobody sitting there, and I'm saying, man, all these empty seats, why does this guy want to come and sit here? I'm manifesting in my mind. See, I can manifest in my mind, and you don't know I'm manifesting. But before I respond to what's going on in my mind, I need to correct my behavior, right? So I said, sure, you can sit here. Now there's empty seats all over the place. And now he want to sit there and start up a conversation. Man, I didn't come to the airport to talk to you. That's what's going on in my mind. But I'm ignoring me. So I'm having a conversation with the gentleman. And he says, you know, it's interesting, the people in the airport, I just like sitting and watching people. Now, I know I like sitting and watching people too. Because I'm a people watcher. It's like sometimes to the point of staring, and I'm not even aware that I'm staring. And anyway, in that moment, I'm thinking, and especially in this moment, I'm thinking that I need to watch me just as much as I used to watch people. In fact, I need to watch me more. Because I can deal with me, and as I'm monitoring what's going on in my head, now what I'm looking for is not a response to what's going on in my head that's coming at me, but the proper response. Because I don't need to respond to something that's only going to make matters worse. I need to try to, you know, deflate if there's an issue, tone it down some. And I remember, you know, the writings of Proverbs. I study Proverbs. I remember a soft answer. A soft answer. A soft answer. What do you want to accomplish with what you're about to say? Do you want to change the course of this conversation? Or are you just going to get sucked into it? Next thing you know, your eyes is rolling around in your head. Because, see, all of this is going on in my head, and I need to properly process it so that the right response in what I want to accomplish comes forth. Now, this takes a little work, but it also takes practice, because it just don't happen unless I work at it. It won't happen unless you work at it, and you have to be consistent in working at it. Because all it takes is for one moment and things is out of hand. You raise your voice, or you say something, or you give some smart remark because you don't like how it's been said to you. You don't like how somebody looked at you when they said it. And now you want to respond and cut them off at the knees. The next thing you know, you all are having a cut each other off at the knee party. Next thing you know, you're just going to be a stub. You're going to be walking down on your... Some of y'all have felt like that after an argument. You know, it's like, man, and then you get in the room and think about what you should have said and what you could have said, and look for another opportunity so you could go and rekindle that fire. Can't let him get away with that. The old man, children of disobedience, ruled by sinful desires and idolatry, the new man is renewed in Messiah. That's in obedience. The old man walked in rebellion. The new man walked in righteousness. The old man is outside the covenant. In covenant with Jehovah is the new man. Now, it's a terrible thing to be in covenant, walking outside of covenant. The old man is under God's wrath. The new man is heirs of the promise. And then there's some scripture references or verses from Colossians and Ephesians. It talks about the former life and the transformed life. Verse 7, it says, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them. And then Paul is going to get into, okay, here's what Father has done. Father has given you his spirit. He has risen you up with Messiah. He seated you in heavenly places with him. Your life is hid in him. He's given you the mind of Messiah that you may be able to think the thoughts of the Almighty. What are you working on in your head? See, renewing the mind is not just reading the Bible. Renewing the mind is changing the way you think. You got to change the way you think. Because if you don't change the way you think, certain things is going to keep rubbing you the wrong way. Because the old man is being rubbed. You can't rub the new man the wrong way because you don't know that person. You got to get to know the new you in you and behave like the new you, or you'll keep behaving like the old you who wants to be like the new you. You can't be like the new you holding on to the old you. You got to let some stuff go. I remember one of my mentors way back in the day said that in order for you to receive what the Almighty has in his hands, you got to let go of whatever it is you have in your hand. You can't put nothing in a closed fist. You have to let go and be in a posture to receive from him, and then let him clean you up. He got work to do in me. But I'm working with him. I'm not working against him. So now you got to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You got to change the way you talk. See, when two people become one, you understand what Messiah is talking about when he says that the way you treat someone is the way you want to be treated. The way you treat someone is the way you want to be treated. Now, if you're talking to someone and you hear yourself talking, you should ask yourself, how would I respond if somebody's talking to me like that? And then I had to put this stuff into practice because when a man marries, he leaves his father and his mother and he cleaves to his wife, and the two is supposed to become one flesh. So now, how am I talking to me? How am I treating me? Because see, if I don't get the one flesh thing, I'm gonna always deal with her like she her and not me. You hear what I'm saying? When I get the memo, then how I treat her is how I'm going to treat me. And I like me. I think I treat me pretty good when until I'm not. And I know I'm not treating me good when I'm behaving like the old man. The Almighty don't like that. You say you love him? Then why are you behaving in a way that he don't like the way you're behaving? Do you see yourself? Are you looking at what you're saying? Hearing what you're saying? What you're doing? How you're behaving? Do you see yourself at that moment like he see you? And should you be rewarded for that? Because he that comes to him must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How can I claim all of the blessings when I'm not diligently seeking him to the degree to where I'm allowing him to change me so that I can become like he wants me to be? And you know what happens when that happens? You know what happens in order for it to happen? You got to stop seeking for stuff. When you get in that place he wants you to be, stuff don't matter. Why? Because you trust whatever I need, he's going to provide. Whatever I need, he's going to provide. Whatever I need, he's going to provide. Has he never not provided? Have I ever needed something and he didn't provide it for me? Has he not delivered me? Did he deliver me from some of my enemies and let some of my enemies take me? Or did he deliver me from all my enemies? Is he capable of delivering me from all of my enemies? Then why am I operating in me? I should be operating in him. I should let him have his way in me instead of me trying to control him. Sick him, God. Now he's sick in me. You hear me? This anger, natural disposition, temper, character, movement or agitation of the soul, impulse, desire, any violent emotion, especially anger, wrath, indignation, anger exhibited in punishment, hence used for punishment itself. I remember one time I wanted to withhold money from my wife because I wanted to control how it was spent. And it's like, if I give something away, do I still have control of it? Did I actually give it? Is it, if I give you something, should I be concerned about how you spend it? Now, I know that in some cases, it's like, okay, yeah, I should be concerned about how you spend it. And then you take that into places you shouldn't take it. Because, see, How the ministry spends the tithe ain't your business. Because see, here's what happens with some people. They don't like how certain things are being spent. So you know what they do? They hold on to that which don't belong to them. You think you're upsetting the ministry when the fact of the matter is that you're cutting your own blessing off. You sure you want to do that? Because people do it all the time, unfortunately. This anger provokes and causes wrath and then even vengeance, wanting to pay somebody back, one up one. You know, if your husband do something, now you want to get even. Your wife do something, now you want to get even. Somebody do something, now you want to get even. Do you know what has to happen in you for you to seek getting even with somebody? You got to become something other than what you're supposed to be. You do. And see, vengeance is his. You have to be able to let things go and let the Almighty deal with them. Otherwise, he's going to have to deal with you because of how you dealt with him. Wrath, passion, angry, heat, anger. Boiling up and soon subsiding again. Some of us got anger issues. And you can go to all the counseling and therapy you won't. But until you let God deal with you, because I'll tell you something about him. He'll put anger issues in your presence. And then say, look at you. You acting a fool again. When you gonna learn? Angels, nah, I ain't gonna say that, but you know, the demons are making mess. They ain't gonna pass it. It ain't gonna pass it. Well, let's try it. Have you tried my servant? See, it's something. It's like, God, why you send the devil to Job's house? Have you tried my servant Job? It's like, have you tried my servant Arthur? Well, listen, there's some things that I got to work through him, so pay him a visit. It's amazing to me that the Almighty led by his spirit, Yeshua, into the desert to be tempted. You want to be Messiah-like? You may be led into some places where you will be tempted, unless, of course, you're praying, lead me not into. Because if you ain't praying that prayer, you might be in temptation. You might be led into temptation. And see, it's like every day I say the same old prayer every single day, every day. And I say it from the heart because I don't want to be tempted today. I want to eat. I want to be fed. I don't want no problems. None. I want you to fight my battles. I want you to be there when I call on you. And I ain't going to take matters into my own hands because I know how that work out. It ain't worked out good so far. Malice. Ill will, desire to injure, usage, being malicious. It actually is associated with evil and wicked. Blasphemy, slander, detraction, speech, injurious. Do you know that blasphemy, that you can blaspheme people? Now, I know when people hear blasphemy, they think of blaspheming God. In fact, Yeshua kind of said, you know, if you want to blaspheme me, that's your business. Just don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. To speak injurious about somebody, to speak defaming or defamation over someone. This is why I don't get into all that talk. You know, people want to talk about, well, you know, it could be this, it could be that. Do you know? No, then shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. It's just got in your head. I ain't going there with you. It's like, do you know? Well, no. Well, why are you talking? You're talking and you already know. You don't know what you're talking about. So why are you talking about stuff you know you don't know what you're talking about? And it don't stop people from doing it. They just go right over there. Could be. Filthy communication, foul mouthing, foul speaking, unobscene speech. Now, there's cussing preachers out there. You know, cuss words shouldn't even come out of a saint's mouth. Set apart people don't cuss. They don't. They don't use foul language, obscene language. Now, that's a big one. That's a place to start for some of us. Just stop cussing. Yeah. Let you think about that for a moment. Because, you know, the moment a person get mad, see, right now, I'm working on stop cussing in my head. Because I still cuss people out in my head, and I have to work on that. It's like, because, you know, your thoughts, Arthur, your thoughts. You know, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery. Well, if you're cussing in your mind, you're still cussing. So I got to work on not cussing in my head. Get to the root.